720 WGN, Pete McMurray in the Skyline Studios. Happy Sunday, everybody. Wow, what a mess. Why did I even try to go shopping? This is what I'm going to need to do. I need to plan to go tonight, way after the show and right before the stores close. I mean, yesterday was Super Saturday, and I wasn't going to go shopping yesterday. So I decided, okay, I'll go to church on Sunday morning. I'll hit the stores right when they open. Big mistake. Everybody else had that idea, too. But I feel like tonight, if I come back later, then it'll be okay. Curtis is behind the glass. Happy Sunday. How you doing, man?
Happy Sunday, Pete. Good to see you.
Are you done with your shopping?
I am all done. I've been done for actually about a week and a half or so.
See, I lulled myself into a false sense of security when it comes to shopping because I shopped for my wife in October.
Mm-hmm.
Two of her friends, I said, hey, give me three links that I can buy my wife gifts. And they were at our house and they were wrapped. I wrapped them by Halloween.
Oh, wow.
So I'm thinking, I'm done. And here I am last week looking at my list. I have godchildren to buy for.
I would say you have a big family. You have a ton of stuff you probably have to get done still.
Well, I do. And I really blew it. And I put it off and I'm like, I'm going to do it this weekend. And I still haven't done it. So I need to buy three gifts for godchildren.
Yeah.
And I need to get stocking stuffers for our family. Because if I don't stuff the stockings with fun stuff,
yeah,
my wife's not going to do it. That's my job.
So are you doing it after the show today? Or are you going to... Well, I know you have another gig later on this evening, but...
So we get off the air at 5, then yeah. Hamp and OB take over for the pregame, the Bears. Then you got the Bear game tonight.
Yeah.
Then I'm on Fox tonight at 10 o'clock. So I figure I'll go out shopping...
Right,
I want to watch the
5.
Bear game.
There's a lot of little establishments right outside of our building here.
This is a tough one. It's
rough.
The
news is that we get off at 5. If you left right away and did some shopping, the Bears game's at, what, 7:30?
Yeah, but I'm going to catch the crowds at 5 o'clock. That's my point. I want to avoid the crowds.
Oh, yeah. Can you do it out in the suburbs, or are you staying downtown until...
I'm downtown. I live downtown, and I work downtown. So why would I go to the suburbs?
Oh, I thought you were, I thought you were like staying like in the area, like by Fox and everything. So that way you can just kind of shop in.
Oh, you mean downtown.
Yeah, downtown.
No, I have to go home and change. I got to put on a suit for tonight. I'm wearing a flannel shirt now.
Oh, come on. That's good TV attire.
Oh, man. I don't know. That's a great question. What do I do here? Yeah. And I need fun stocking stuffers. I have no idea. I figured I'd go to Marshall's. You know how they have... Those tables are just stuff, like phone chargers and those portable chargers. I figure I could buy a few of those, throw them in the stockings. What else?
Candy?
Yeah, a little bit of candy.
Go to like Fannie Mae or get a couple of like...
Actually, I have some from Anderson's. They sent some in.
Oh, there you go.
I have Anderson's a box of candy from Anderson's.
Yeah, that's actually perfect.
Yep. Okay, keep going. What else? My mother used to do, I don't know if anybody's listening that had this when they were younger. I come from a very large family. So my mother would fill the stockings. You know, you get your gifts, but you want to have some fun stuff in the stockings. She would fill the stockings with oranges, apples, and walnuts. I don't know if that was filler or is that an old school thing. I don't know where that came from, but that would
either.
Be at the bottom of our stockings, and then we'd find a few fun things at the top with candy.
Yeah, some of the fun things like my parents would put in my stockings, being like a Cubs fan, they put like an addition of Vine Line in there.
Right.
Or,
small things.
Yeah, some sort of small thing like that. Yeah.
Like a power cord for your phone. Everybody needs those.
Yeah.
That's easy. Okay. Stocking cap, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. Simple.
We're brainstorming here.
Right. I'm saying this out loud because I'm going through Marshalls in my head, so I can buy a cord there. I can buy a stocking cap. Mm-hmm. We're going to go skiing next month, so maybe some hand warmers.
There you go.
Yeah. This is good.
Or like those industrial, like, snow gloves. Like those, like, you essentially, like, wear when you're going, like, snowmobiling or whatever.
Yeah. I like that. It's a great idea.
Or Under Armour.
Right. You can never have enough Under Armour. I'm with you. Stocking stuffers, if you have a suggestion, I am taking them down right now. 312-981-7200 is our phone number, also our text line. Hamp and OB coming up at 5 o'clock, so we have 90 minutes to do a show. We have some great stuff coming on. We have an Auburn football player, Sal Cannella, who went to Vider, And he's playing on Auburn's football team. He's home for the holidays, and he takes off on the 26th to play in the bowl game. I think, who are they playing? Minnesota, I want to say. Yeah. Yep, here it is right here. Number 9, Auburn, will play number 16, Minnesota, in the Outback Bowl at noon on New Year's Day. So Sal's going to be coming by at 4 o'clock. North Central College won the D3 championship on Friday night. How great is that? North Central College in Naperville. We're going to talk to the head coach, Jeff Thorne, around 4:30. And we had Anna Gasteyer, formerly of Saturday Night Live. I love Anna. I think she's very funny. She's got a new holiday album out, so we'll play that back in about 10 minutes or so. So if you have a suggestion for stocking stuffers, or if you know why back in the old days they used to put apples, oranges, and walnuts inside your stocking, let me know. 630 area code. I just bought apples and oranges and nuts to stuff my daughter's stocking. We do it every year. She's 34. Added some sugar scrubs for fun. Sugar face scrubs for fun. Okay. But why? Why are we putting apples and oranges? Is that filler?
This might be a little too cliche, but what about lotto tickets?
Great idea. That is a great idea. Lotto tickets. I'm writing that down. That's great. That's easy, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you just got to make a deal with them that if they hit it big, if they get like 10 grand, you get two of it.
Right. You got to split it with me.
Yeah.
Give me 5%. 5% is good. If you win $1 million, why not? You'd trade that off, right? You'd do that. Money. Yes, I'm going to give my godchildren money. One is only 6 years old, so he's not going to get cash. He's going to get something fun. But I have one in high school and one that just graduated from college. So everybody wants cash. So here's another question. How much cash do you give the kid in high school?
I'd say maybe 50 or 100 bucks.
How much for the college kid?
I'd say probably the same thing.
I thought 25 for the high school kid, 50 for
or
college.
50 for the.
My wife's like, don't be Uncle Cheap.
I'd say 50 for the high school and maybe 100 for the college.
Don't be Uncle Cheap. Thank you, Sarah. Okay. 50 and 100? So I'm down a buck 50.
50 for the kid in high school, 100 for the college kid.
Shoot.
That's what I would say.
I thought I'd get away with 25 and 50. You can't do 25 anymore, can you?
I mean,
kids in seventh grade.
Well, I mean, for kids,
I'm sorry, he's in eighth grade.
I mean, for kids like in like middle school, or not middle school, elementary school.
Yeah.
If they want, you could get them like a Target gift card or something, or a GameStop gift card, and they can go out and get something like that.
Okay. 50 bucks. I got to go back to the bank. Yeah, but everything's online now. You don't, you know.
Yeah, but if you still get them a gift card, they can redeem it and use it towards their account or whatever.
708 area code. Back in the day, oranges were a delicacy and special in winter. Same with apples and walnuts. I would also put candy cane in each stocking. Okay. All right. From the internet, 708 area code. St. Nicholas traveled to the house and tossed 3 sacks of gold down the chimney for each of the dowries. The gold happened to land in each of the girls' stockings, which were hanging by the fire, to dry. The oranges we receive today are a symbol of the gold. Wow, who knew? Okay. 773 area code. We have 12 nieces and nephews, 20 bucks a piece. It's a lot of money. Gosh, we're all broke around the holidays. This is why we all get crabby.
That's why we work for 11 months so the 12 months so we can spend it away.
Oh my gosh. I know I'm forgetting somebody. I have to get a card from my mail carrier, and I want a catcher to hand it to her in person because I've never met her and I want to know her name. So I have to take care of that.
Yeah.
You got to take care of your mail carrier. Number one.
We took care of our parking people in my building. Because my building has a parking lot that's in there, like the basement of our building, and there's parking attendants that will move the cars around. And so we got them like at Costco, they have like these tower of like different cookies and stuff in these boxes. And we gave that to the whole staff. So they got a bunch of snacks and treats.
It's interesting that you say Costco because that is on my list. I have to go there tomorrow. How painful is that?
Get another pumpkin pie.
I have to get a pumpkin pie for my sister Mary. So we're all driving out to Naperville on Wednesday. So I have to get a pumpkin pie. Shoot. That is going to be a painful. And what are you supposed to do? I can't get it a week in advance. You got to get it a few days ahead of time. So I got to do the pumpkin pie. Wow. This is rough stuff, man. This is why we all get crabby around the holidays. And guys like me wait until the bitter end. You just keep putting it off. Every year it's the same thing. You know what? I'm going to plan it out this year. I'm really going to be prepared. I'm going to have a list. No, it never works out. And you get too busy. And you never have time. Ugh. It's rough. I hope I have enough stuff for my wife now that I think about it.
Plow. Did you get all three of the things that your or that her friends?
I hope she likes it. I don't know. That's a great question. Do I need to? Jeez. I can't wait until this is all
over. Watching you ponder all this in the studio is kind of funny.
630 area code. Fruit was in demand decades ago. Seasonal demand. Okay. All right. I was about to suggest the fruit, oranges, and apples, one each, and nuts. Your mom knew mine. Yes. That was an old mom thing. This is from Peter, 708 area code. Since she only had to stuff for two boys, my mom would also add some small item of specific interest to each of us based on your hobbies. Yes, my mother did that too. Pete, my Christmas drill. Every Christmas Eve morning, start out somewhere where you can get a beer and a hot ham and cheese bagel, then hit the stores, the malls, everywhere. Christmas Eve morning. Okay, you should be done by 10 to 11. 10 or 11. Here's the problem with Christmas Eve morning. Here's the problem this week. I'm on the air from 5 a.m. until 9 a.m. I guess I could take off right at 9:30, hit the stores downtown.
Yeah, you could do that.
Okay, I like that. That's a great suggestion. Don't get sidetracked. Pete and Palatine. Okay. That's a great idea. I like it. Here's the problem. You got to focus. You got to have a list. You got to be ready to go. So you're completely done?
Yep, all done.
I have to go to the grocery store. I have to go to Costco. Get a pie and some cookies. Got to get the stocking stuffers this week. And then I have to get breakfast items because we make a big breakfast on Christmas morning.
Ooh.
So we get up, we make breakfast, and then everybody opens their gifts one at a time.
I'm here Christmas Eve morning with Dave Plyer from 5 to 9. And then usually on Christmas Eve, it's all my family baking all day. We make majority of the desserts on Christmas Eve because we host Christmas Day and we have about 20 to 25 people that come over to our house. And we will usually have all the food cooked on Christmas Day. We start at like 10 in the morning because we eat early.
Right.
But like all the desserts and stuff and a few of the other like side dishes we'll either like make fully or partially cook Christmas Eve.
Okay.
So that way there's a little bit less stuff to prepare on Christmas Day and you can spend that time with family and everybody that's there.
708 area code. We cut our nieces and nephews off after high school. Well, you don't love them anymore? That's it? You just cut them out? That's it? I'm talking godchildren. I have 24 nieces and nephews, but I have three godchildren. And you got to take care of your godkids, right? Who's your godfather? Do you have one?
I do.
So you take care of him?
Yes. Well, he's not around anymore, but yes, in the past he had. Yeah, they usually send like a little like $25 gift card or something like that.
Envelope.
Yeah.
Curtis, come here. Merry Christmas. How you doing?
Well, they live in Texas, so.
Don't mess with Texas. Come here. Here's an envelope for you. It's like a scene in The Irishman. Joe Pesci, you hand him an envelope. Here you go, Russ. Take it. It's yours. It's nice. Okay, great suggestions. Got to focus. I like the lotto tickets. That is a great idea. Everybody loves the scratch-off. That's fun.
There's a lot of like different varieties too.
Right.
So you could give somebody a different one.
We do a few gag gifts before the main gifts. Every year, the whole family sits around on Christmas night at my sister's and we open gifts from the family. So the godchildren, the godfathers. My son, Charlie, his godfather is my brother, Dave. So Uncle Dave, in front of everybody, is going to open a gift, and it's going to be a pair of bikini underwear. So you got to hold it up for the camera. You got to take a picture. I mean, that's comedy, man. That's hilarious. That's good stuff. Traditions. I love it. And you work Christmas Day, right?
No, Christmas Day, we have here we have tape. I work Christmas Christmas Eve with, like I said, Dave Plyer, and then I'm here with you.
What time are you on Christmas Eve?
Christmas Eve, 5 to 9.
At night?
No, in the morning. Morning drive.
Are you sure about that?
Christmas Eve. Yeah.
Dave, I think I'm on morning drive.
Dave Plyer's had that for a while. So if unless there's some sort of change, you might want to
check
about
that?
Dave. I am positive.
I think something's happening. I planned on coming in on Tuesday morning.
Well,
wow.
We're going to have to find out.
Okay. That's good. That's good to know. Okay. Do we need to take a break here, by the way?
We could take it in a minute or two here.
Okay.
We're good.
Let's take a break, and when we come back, we'll do some more of these text messages. I can't keep up with these. People are sending pictures now, and they're taking up the whole screen. By the way, we can get pictures, the Christmas albums. Okay, let's take a quick break. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. We're here until 5 o'clock, then Hamp and OB for the Bears pregame. Don't forget Bears tonight. Bears and Chiefs, even though it doesn't mean anything for the Bears, Patrick Mahomes for the Kansas City Chiefs is an exciting quarterback to watch.
And you can play a little spoiler. Why not?
Yeah.
Try to affect their rankings in the playoffs.
Where does that work, though, if we beat the Chiefs?
I have no idea. I'm just.
I thought they clinched their division. Maybe I'm wrong about that. I should know that going on Fox tonight to talk football.
I think if they clinch their division, like the ranking, though, like in terms of like they get a bye week or something, right? Doesn't that still play into effect?
It does. Yes. And don't forget tomorrow night, Monday Night Football, you have the Packers and the Vikings. That's going to be a great game.
That's going to be a really good game.
We got some good football. It was fun to listen to that game this afternoon. Boy, the Ravens are fantastic.
Yeah.
They're so good. Lamar Jackson's the MVP.
Has to be, without a doubt.
He has over 2,500 passing yards. What did he have today? Probably 200 more? How many touchdowns? He had two touchdowns in the first half. He probably had three or four. He had five last week. How do you not name him the MVP? That's impressive. Are you looking that up? How many TDs today?
Well, I'm looking at Mark Ingram, his running back, hit over 1,000 yards rushing today.
But Lamar Jackson, so they have a quarterback and a running back, both over 1,000 yards rushing.
He threw three touchdowns today, 238 yards.
So eight the last 2 weeks.
Yep.
Damn, is he good. He's got over 2,500 passing yards.
11 if you count 3 weeks ago.
Wow, you're right.
And plus an interception. So he's thrown one interception over the last 3 weeks.
Where did he come from? Man, he's so good. That is great. All right, it's 720 WGN. It's Pete McMurray in the Skyline Studios talking about stocking stuffers, 630 area code. How about tickets to the Hawks? Okay, great idea. 847, socks. Easy fills the stocking, and we all need socks, okay? 224, the cocaine Santa sweater from Walmart. I think they pulled that. Have you seen that sweater? Have people seen that sweater?
No, I haven't seen it.
It's a sweater where there's three lines of snow, and it looks like cocaine. They call it the cocaine sweater. I think you can buy it on Amazon now, secondhand, but Walmart pulled it. 708, Starbucks gift card. 847, more fruit and more nuts. I like that idea. That's good. Anna Gasteyer, formerly of SNL, she has a new music album out, and she was talking about her sweaty balls on Jimmy Kimmel Live.
Do you love Christmas? Is this why you recorded this?
I love, you know, it's sweaty ball season. So
oh, that's right. Yeah, right.
The balls are high.
Anna Gasteyer, happy holidays. You know, I need to ask you, when you're at a grocery store, do people still yell out sweaty balls?
They do. You know where they yelled it at me was at the Sox game. When I did Elphaba there at the Oriental, I played Elphaba and Wicked for a long time in Chicago.
Right.
And my colleague Kay Reinders and I sang the anthem at the Sox game, and I was so nervous because I was singing the anthem, and I took a deep breath, and then somebody screamed out sweaty balls, like right in that moment.
Those are the Southsiders right there, Anna. You should expect
they took care of me. They put me right back where I belonged.
One of the things about sweaty balls I have to mention is you didn't crack up during that skit, which is completely amazing.
Yeah, when I get in character, I don't fool around, because if it's going to ruin the joke, I don't like to laugh.
Okay.
You know, I feel like I'd rather make the thing work, you know?
Gotcha. Did you grow up singing Christmas carols in your family?
Yeah, I did. I grew up with a ton of music, and I was actually a voice major up at Northwestern, and then that's how I found comedy, because I went there, and I got involved with the improv scene there, and I fled the music school and ended up just pursuing comedy, but then, you know, went my way back to music, and that's where we are now. We're kind of in the middle of it all, because jazz is both improvisational, as you know. That's
right.
My album. It's a nostalgic kind of throwbacky jazz sound. And it's fun, and it's loose, and it's lyrically driven, and it's not so serious, but it's still musical, which is a great combination of everything I do.
Well, I'm looking at your track list on your album. You got Sugar and Booze. You have sure. Nothing Rhymes with Christmas. I can't wait to hear that one. Maya Rudolph is on this album with you, right?
Yeah, so she came in to sing this. I wrote this very ridiculous song called Secret Santa, which is a woke anthem, if you will.
Okay.
And it's a kind of a Cuban, it's got a Cuban vibe to it, a retro-Cuban vibe. It's really fun. And so I wanted some sort of tight harmonies, and Maya's an amazing harmonizer amongst her other gifts, and so she agreed to do it, which was fantastic. Really fun.
Now, your album cover, Sugar and Booze, you're wearing a green dress, having a drink by the Christmas tree. What's in the glass?
Bourbon.
I like that.
It's the whiskey time of year. You got to drink warm things.
Is bourbon your go-to holiday cocktail?
You know, I'm a real equal opportunity drinker. Lucky for me. But so it sort of depends. Sometimes I like to drink things like that are a little watered down so I can have a lot of them.
Right.
And sometimes I just want a nice warm beverage. It depends how cold it is.
Yes, it is cold here in Chicago.
Great. So I'm packing my flask.
Where did you live when you went to Northwestern?
Well, so I lived in Evanston the whole time.
Okay.
I was only up there for a full summer. I did one of Mary Zimmerman's shows at the Looking Glass Theater after one semester, and then I went to Los Angeles.
Got it. We're talking with Anna Gasteyer. Her new album is called Sugar and Booze. Do you have any Christmas traditions that you grew up with that you pass along to your kids? You have two kids, right?
Two kids who are going to literally get coal in their stockings because I'm so busy touring this record. Yeah, I mean, we are big fans of the traditional movies. I love White Christmas, and I love It's a Wonderful Life, of course.
Right.
We probably watch those annually. The Grinch. So we definitely fire those up annually and kind of dig in. And then my mom makes a lot of traditional food, so we usually lean in to Grandma on the food stuff. That's pretty much it. They do go visit. There's this one Santa on Long Island who is incredibly legit in appearance. He's got an actual twinkle in his eye. So we sometimes go visit him, even though they're pretty old now, because everyone's not quite willing to admit that it may not be him.
You and I both have something in common. We believe in the spirit of Christmas, and we still believe in Santa Claus.
I firmly believe in Santa Claus.
I do, too.
I think you'd have to be a Scrooge. You'd have to be a real jerk.
Is your favorite Christmas movie It's a Wonderful Life? What would it be?
It's a Wonderful Life and White Christmas. I mean, it's hard to, it's a toss-up. I love those musical numbers. I love both of those movies.
You know what's great about those old movies like White Christmas? My mother used to make us watch all those old movies every single year, and I appreciate it so much now because you have guys like Bing Crosby who could sing and dance, but Danny Kaye, I feel like, was the triple threat. He could sing, he could dance, and he was super funny in these movies.
So funny.
Yes.
He's so funny. Such a natural, such a good listener.
Right.
So connected, such a good physical actor. I know. He's fantastic. He really is.
And
the Poor Jester is one of my favorite movies, too, actually. It's a unsung hero of the comedy pile.
Do you think those type of movies will come back around?
Well, I think, again, the holiday ones probably have legs longer than the other ones because again, it's such a time of tradition. Like, you're always you're revisiting your favorite stuff. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, whereas in other movies that I might love, you know, whatever, that you've seen 100 times, you're not as inclined. Even The Wizard of Oz we don't watch as much as we used to, because there used to be 3 channels on TV, and so everybody
right.
would watch The Wizard of Oz every Thanksgiving.
Yes.
But, you know, those holiday movies, I do feel like we dust them off and revisit them every year. I mean, The Grinch alone, look how many remakes there have been. It's kind of incredible.
One of my favorite holiday movies is Trading Places with Dan Aykroyd, when Lewis Winthorpe III takes a salmon out of his Santa suit, and it gets caught up in his beard as he's chowing down drunk. That right there says Merry Christmas.
Oh, my God. It's unbelievable. That's a good one. I'm going to show that to my kids, actually. I haven't thought about that one in a while.
Isn't that nice? As parents, we try to self-medicate over the holidays, don't we?
You know, I prefer the term let loose.
Okay. I like that.
You know, why not? We just try to let it go. I mean, look, that's why I wrote this song, Sugar and Booze. I think it's life is hard. We're really busy.
Right.
We're really stressed. We're culturally exhausted right now.
Yep.
And I think it is really, you can feel it on a nationwide level. Everybody would like to press pause, have a moment, and just, you know, let it rip for a second. Unbutton your pants. Just let it, just settle in, you know, and let a couple weeks pass by with at least a couple days pass by with some sugar and booze and, you know, and connect with people, and then we can get back at it in January.
I'm going to have some sugar and booze tonight. Anna Gasteyer, make sure you pick up her album. Anna, great to talk to you.
Hey, great talking to you.
You're the best. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
For over at Seasons Eatings, we have balls for every taste. Popcorn balls, cheese balls, rum balls, you name it.
Wow. My mouth's watering just thinking about those balls.
Well, look at that.
That's very nice right there. Pete McMurray in the Skyline Studios. To play football in college, you have to be crazy good. To play D1 football at a school like Auburn University, you have to be exceptional. Number 9, Auburn, is playing number 16, Minnesota, in the Outback Bowl. And joining us is St. Viator's own from the Auburn Tigers football team. It's Sal Canella. It's great to see you. Thanks for coming in.
You too. Thank you for having me.
Did I introduce you correctly? Yes, St. Viator's own?
St. Viator's own, no
right?
doubt.
That's yes, nice. Sir. When did you graduate from Viator?
2015.
Did you play wide receiver in high school?
Yeah, I played wide receiver and tight end, but I only played my freshman, sophomore, senior year. I didn't play my junior year.
Why?
I was focused on the basketball route. That was really my main passion back then.
You are a big guy.
I know.
I am so jealous because I want to be 6'5 and be able to dunk.
Hey, you can work for it. Hey, you train hard enough, I think you can do it.
So you thought, what do you tell your dad? You know, I'm going to quit football. I'm just going to focus on basketball. What did he say? By the way, your father's in the room, yeah. So watch what you say.
So, I mean, when I told him, like, he knew that was really my passion right then there in that time. And he was supportive, but he just wanted to make sure that it's something I knew, like, I was going to go through with. And if I was going to do it, I was going to be about it 100%.
Okay.
You know, so.
So you go back senior year.
Go back senior year, had a solid year, and I kind of fell in love with it and really chose football as what I was going to do after high school as a business decision, really. Because, you know, in Chicago basketball, it's real tough to make it. I mean, just being a 6'6 power forward, that's really undersized if you're being honest with yourself.
Right.
So going the football route and being, you know, a 6'6 tight end wide receiver that's super athletic, you know, it's more rare in football. So.
I think your brother just rolled his eyes because he referred to yourself as super athletic. Is that right? I think so. He's laughing over there. So how do you end up at Auburn?
Okay, so, I mean, it's a crazy story. So,
by the way, we love telling Chicago stories, and you're a great Chicago story. That's why we have you on the air. You're home for the holidays.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
So it basically started, I had no offers coming out of high school, and I didn't really know what to do. And my brother, he went to junior college for baseball.
Okay.
So he gave me the idea, hey, you need to email some junior colleges and, you know, try to get in somewhere throughout the country. So I'm like, all right. So I emailed every single junior college in the country, and I ended up getting two responses. And one was Pima Community College in Arizona and Scottsdale Community College in Arizona.
You get two responses?
Two responses.
You're kidding.
But I emailed, like, not just, like, before this, I emailed every single D1, D2, D3.
Right.
And, like, no interest.
How depressed are you at this point?
It was heartbreaking because that's my life, you know? Like,
sure.
As an athlete, like, you're at it all day, every day. And, like, I knew that's what I wanted to do from the jump. So it was just, like, heartbreaking. But at the same time, like, I knew deep down, like, I knew what I was destined for. And I knew, like, where I wanted to be. So I would email every school, and I got those two responses. We flew out to Pima and to visit the school. And when I was there for like one day, I just knew like deep down, like I can't go here. And when I was there, like I didn't have much communication with the Scottsdale school. So I emailed them while I was there at the Pima and said, hey, I'm in Arizona. Like we'll drive down there and come check out the school.
Okay.
And the coach was like, yeah, come down tomorrow. Like, I'd love to see you. So me and my dad go there and the coach basically tells me, hey, like we don't have any scholarships. Like, we have a spot for you on the team, but you're going to have to, like, work for everything you get. So I said, that's my only option. Let's go do it. A week after high school, we drove 24 hours down to Scottsdale with my truck and moved
this
in.
This is a movie.
Yeah.
You know that,
yeah,
right?
It's
this
crazy.
Is a made-for-TV movie,
no
at
doubt.
Least.
I'm
yeah.
telling you.
And you should write a screenplay.
Hey, I'm telling you. You can make something out of this.
Right.
And we get down there, and the only real thing we had going was the coach just gave us an apartment complex, and he goes, hey, like, you know, you're going to have, here's your roommates. We had like four roommates at the time.
Okay.
And a two bedroom. So, and it was just like basically the whole team stayed in these two apartment complexes, because my junior college was a real junior college. It's not like the ones in Last Chance U where they got the scholarships and the meal plans and the dorms. No, it's none of that. It's real just, you know, you're out there, you go get a job and like, handle it how you handle it.
And
so.
Football's on the side. You gotta pay for school. You gotta pay for
rent. So I had to get a job right when I got out there, and you know everything was going solid. You know I was training, going hard. I was you know making plays, but towards the start of the year, I knew I really wasn't gonna play that much, just because how junior college works, they favor the second year guys a lot, just because that's their last year to get out.
Right, right.
And so basically, I ended up, you know, my friend told me about gray shirting. And, you know, people know of red shirting. That's a popular thing in college where you sit out a year. But gray shirting is you're a part-time student. And so that means it doesn't count as a year towards your school. So it doesn't start your four-year clock. So I gray shirted, took 9 credits, just practiced with the team, and I still had four years. Yeah.
You're kidding.
No, yeah. So I credit my friend Dion for telling me about this, because he tried to do it, but he enrolled in 12 credits already, and he messed it up. So he told me about it. So I said, okay. I went to the coaches, told them I was going to gray shirt.
And you're doing this all on your own?
All on my own, yeah.
You're pretty mature for a freshman in college.
I had to, though. I was, what, 18, 19?
Right.
Like, I was on my own out there. So I gray shirted that whole year. I grinded. I would make cut-ups on my phone and in the iMovie and make film, like cut-up film, send it out to every school. And I'd keep doing that. I would get a few responses like, hey, we want to see what you do like in the game. Because I almost got a few offers, but they want to see game film, of course.
Right.
So after that year, spring ball came around, and that was like the big time in junior college. A lot of schools come watch spring practice, and I had got it around that time. We practiced on Thursday, Friday, Saturday for 15 practices. And at that time, I started working at the local nightclub down the street. It was like a 10-minute walk. We walked
down
the street.
Gotta have a job. You're paying for school.
Gotta have a job. Right, exactly.
So I was Might as well work at a bar.
Exactly. So I was a bouncer.
I like that.
And I would work from 9 to like 3:30 in the morning. And we would practice at 6 a.m. because in Arizona, it gets so hot
right.
that you got practice in the morning.
Sure.
And so I'd get, an hour, maybe an hour, 2 hours of sleep. And spring ball was the grind. And I ended up getting like 14 offers just off my spring ball film.
You're kidding.
Yeah, just spring ball film. And at that point, like, I was a qualifier out of high school. My grades were good. I was able to go transfer anywhere I wanted to at that point. But the schools I had offers from, they were Division I schools, lower mid-majors. But I knew I wanted to go big. Like, I knew what talent I had, and I knew I wanted to play at the highest level, like, to get the best chance to play in the NFL.
Right.
So that's where, like, you know, it was kind of tough, like, with me and my parents kind of deciding, like, where I wanted to go. Like, if I wanted to go back to junior college and risk it, or, hey, go just choose one of these schools. You have a full ride. Like, go do that. But deep down, I knew I wanted to come back. So I came back to the junior college. Played one season, first team All-American, first number one junior college tight end coming out.
Wow.
Had like another like 14 offers, and you know, ended up choosing Auburn.
Man, that is an unbelievable story.
But it doesn't really stop.
Are you kidding me? Yeah, I know it doesn't, but I got to take a commercial break.
Hey, go ahead.
I am riveted here.
Yeah, no doubt.
Somebody needs to write a screenplay about your life.
Right, we could do it.
I mean,
I'm all for it.
Wow. Yeah. So were you 6'5 when you graduated from high school?
Yeah, I'm about 6'5, yeah.
Okay.
Solid 6'5.
God, I wish I was 6'5. Sal Canella is here. He plays for Auburn. We got to talk about the bowl game, too.
Yeah, no doubt.
Can people follow you on Twitter?
Yeah, Twitter, Instagram, at Sal Nels, S-A-L-N-E-L-L-S.
And you keep it clean, right?
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
I'm sure the school monitors.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
just want to make
clean
sure.
Regardless.
All right. Quick break. We'll be back with more. It's 720 WGN. In studio with us is Auburn University's own Sal Canella, who just told his story how he started out in junior college and you played 1 year.
One season,
and you get recruited by Auburn.
Yes, sir.
Who'd you turn down?
It came down to Maryland and Texas, University of Texas. So,
are you happy with your decision?
Absolutely. Wouldn't change it for the world, no doubt.
So you come home. You had practice yesterday.
Yeah, yes,
you're practicing for the bowl game on New Year's Day.
Yep.
And are you going to go out? You can't go to the bars. People will see you. You stick out like a sore thumb. You're wearing a white leather coat. You're 6'5".
I mean, hey, we come back home and just spend some time with the family. Still got to train and, you know, be ready for the practices when we go to Tampa.
What does Coach tell you before you leave?
Just, you know, be smart, make good decisions, you know, make sure you get your workout in, come back in shape.
What's Mel's down like?
He's a good dude, man. He's one of the more savvy football coaches I've ever, you know, been around, and he really knows what he's talking about, and he just, you know, that's one person that really just loves to win, and he wants to win. That's really all he really cares about, but he also cares about his players too.
I mean, Auburn football.
Yeah.
Tell me about the Iron Bowl.
Hey, that is
a must watch for everybody. If you're a college football fan, you're watching it every single year because you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, at Auburn, you know, that's really the only game that matters. You can go, you know, you have zero wins and you win the Iron Bowl. No, seriously. You can have zero wins and you beat Alabama. Everybody's happy in the state because they have bragging rights at their office, wherever they go to work, for 24 hours every day, you know, for the whole year. So at the Walmart, you know, I go to the local Walmart there. They have the game on repeat all day. 24/7.
Really?
Yeah, they got the game on repeat.
Wow.
Yeah.
How much do you hate Alabama?
I mean, they, you know, because I'm from the north, so I'm here from Chicago, so
yeah,
I don't really understand.
Chicago.
Yeah, I don't really understand it, but they did a good job, you know, teaching me, you know, the history of everything, you know, how serious it really is. So it's bad blood, you know, to say the least.
Well,
bad blood.
Tell me about playing in that game.
Well,
I mean, out of any of the other games, you got to feel the pressure,
right?
And the fans are going to be crazy.
Yeah, no doubt. It's a especially after last year when, you know, we had a tough loss to them at their home, you know, we owed them one. I owed them a good one, too.
Right.
And, you know, we just knew this whole season it was solid, but we lost some games that we knew, you know, we should have easily won. And we knew we were a top team in the country. So it was just kind of just like, you know, let's, you know, go out with a bang. You know, we still got one more, but, you know, we had to make sure people knew that we were legit.
That bums me out about college football compared to college basketball because of team like yours catches fire at the end of the season, you want to see him in the playoffs.
No doubt.
But there's only four teams.
Hey, no, I've always been the person to say we should expand it.
Why
mean,
not?
It would only be smart. Hey, it would make everybody more money, too. That's what
exactly.
I yeah, so, I mean, I think it's a smart decision, but, you know, I mean, it's out of my
Well, the great
control.
Thing about the tournament, the basketball tournament, is you find a Cinderella team and you know, you root for the underdog.
No doubt. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, I mean, I think they should do it. I think it is something that will come in intuition and, you know, in some years on, but not in the next, like, 2 years, probably not, but I'd like to see it.
Who do you think wins this year?
I'm liking LSU.
They look so good.
Yeah. They were real. That's a hats off to Joe Burrow and them, because they're a legit
so good,
team.
Man.
Yeah, they're
is
a legit
he?
Team, no doubt. That was a tough loss we took to them at their place, but, no, that's a legit team, no doubt.
Cover of Sports Illustrated. He's got to worry about the Sports Illustrated jinx, you know?
Hey.
Makes you a little nervous.
We'll see, though.
So you're home for the holidays.
Yes, sir.
And what are you going to be doing while you're in Chicago?
I'm going to Bears game tonight, Blackhawks game tomorrow, and then, you know,
who's getting you tickets?
Because my boys.
What do you mean your boys?
My
I
boys,
want the boys.
Hey,
I have to pay for my tickets.
Friends.
I'm on the radio here in Chicago.
I woke up this morning, my boy said, hey, do you want to go to the Bears game? I'm like, yeah, no
I
doubt.
I need boys like that.
Hey, yeah, we can be boys with
when
my boys.
When you leave town, can they be my boys?
Yeah, no doubt. I'll hook you up with them.
All right.
No doubt.
So you're going to the Bear game tonight.
Yes, sir.
And what would it be like if you had a chance to play for the Chicago Bears in your hometown?
Talk about, like, just a dream. I mean, like, you're just a little kid in school thing saying, I want to play in the NFL, I want to play for the Bears. It's that just coming into tuition, you know? It'd just be a dream come true, but at the same time, it wouldn't be really shocking to me because, like, I see myself there, you know, like, 100%. Like, I see myself on the field playing on Sundays, and, you know, that's what I'm working towards.
God, it's all about visualization with you. You see where you're going to be in the future, and you just kind of make it happen. I feel like I'm at a Tony Robbins seminar right now. Do we have to dance up in the air? You ever see Tony?
Yeah,
he makes everybody dance.
Yeah,
it's a little crazy. Making the NFL, that's a big step.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you have to do in the offseason?
So,
I guess you're not really thinking about that. You're thinking about the bowl game coming up.
Yeah, I'm thinking about the bowl game, no doubt, but you got to be realistic with yourself. So after the season, I'll be going out to Arizona and training at Exos for, you know, pro day for this, like, 7-week program. And you just train for pro day. Hopefully you get invited to the combine, but if not, train for the pro day. And then after that, it's kind of just, you know, meet with teams, just go through that whole process and, you know, just be ready for your opportunity once comes the draft.
Now you say train for the pro day. What do you do? Do you have a trainer out there?
Yeah,
How does
it's
it work?
Like a program. Exos is a facility. facility out there in Arizona, Scottsdale area. And basically they just, you know, it's a 7-week program where you work on, you know, for the 40, for the bench, you know, your agility, then you do position specific stuff too. So it's just kind of like a full program just to get you ready for those specific tests you do at Pro Day.
What are you benching right now?
I threw up 225 about 15 pounds at a time.
Sure. So I'm going to keep 225. Yeah. Kind of hurt my shoulder a little bit. I do dumbbells now. Okay, I can't. Yeah.
Okay.
How fast can you run the 40?
Last time I ran was a 4.58. So we'll see.
4.58?
Yeah. At 235.
Jeez, man.
At 235.
I hate you.
Hey.
Man. It just drives me. I want to be you.
Hey,
yeah,
on,
that's
we get there.
Who do you root for in the NFL? Are you a Bear fan? Of course.
I am a Bear fan. About.
But right now, you got to, you know, with so many great players in the NFL, yeah. who do you like? Who are the ones that stand out?
I'm a big Mike Evans fan. I reached out to him in the summer, actually, and just, you know, just him being a bigger receiver and me being a receiver, too, I just kind of, like, just asked him for just, you know, stuff he worked on when he was in college and what he really focused on and stuff, and he actually reached back to me, and, you know, he just told me, like, he just gave me some advice and stuff, and, you know, I just thanked him for reaching out, so I look up to him for sure.
God, that's great. So you go to the Bear game tonight, one of the Blackhawks?
Monday.
Tomorrow night?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then what are you doing for Christmas Eve?
We're going to have Christmas Eve at our family's house back in Schaumburg. And then, you know, be with them the next 2 days. And I have to fly out on the 26th to Tampa.
So you go straight to Tampa from here.
Straight to Tampa.
You start practicing until New Year's Day?
Yeah, we practice. The 26th, we won't practice. We'll practice 27th, 28th, 29th. Just do walkthroughs the next 2 days before the game.
So how does that work? I mean, you're in college, so you want to go out and experience life.
Yeah.
So what does the coach tell you? Do you have a curfew?
I mean, when we're in season, I mean, like, we stay at a different hotel on Friday nights, so we stay away from campus and stuff,
okay.
So just not be distracted or anything. And, you know, I mean, the only time you really get to go do anything is after the game, if it's a home game, if that. And they're all cool with it. I mean, they don't really mind, just as long as you just be smart and, you know, they
and you're
know
you disciplined
have
because you want to get to the next level.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, you got to realize where you want to be, and, you know, you can't be doing stuff all the time that will, you know, hurt your body in the long run.
What's a D1 wide receiver eat for breakfast, lunch, and dinner?
I got fast metabolism, so I'm eating all day, every day. So I'm eating the omelets in the morning with the eggs and
just mentioning
and the
that food, not gaining 2 pounds.
Hey,
I'm that guy.
See, I need to eat them. 3,000 calories to even gain 5 pounds.
You're kidding.
Yeah, it's tough, but...
Wow.
Yeah, so just breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks in between each meal, and then some before bed.
So on New Year's Day, when you score a touchdown, I want you to point to the TV and just kind of mouth, thanks, Pete. Can you do that for me?
I
know your dad wants a shout-out, but I feel like we have a connection now.
Yeah, no.
You're right.
Maybe I'll write down my shirt, pull up the jersey.
Could you do that? I mean, that would be nice.
You could do that.
Sal, thanks for coming in, man.
No doubt.
Love your story. You seem like you got a great family.
No doubt.
Your brother's a little crazy,
but
you know, yeah, that's nice. After the NFL Combine or whatever you called it, the workout, please come back and tell us your story. You know, where you're at and where you're going to be.
No doubt, absolutely. I'd love to do it.
I'm assuming that you're coming back to see your family once a quarter. I would assume.
Yeah, any chance I get, I'm gonna come
back. Okay. All right. It's Sal Canella, everybody. Check him out. Number 9, Auburn, taking on number 16, Minnesota, in the Outback Bowl on New Year's Day at noon. It's 720 WGN. All right, 720 WGN. Pete McMurray in the Skyline Studios. Thanks again to Sal Canella. He's number 80 on Auburn. Number 9, Auburn, taking on Minnesota. Number 16, Minnesota, in the Outback Bowl on New Year's Day at noon. He went to St. Viator. He is a local kid, grew up in Schaumburg, went to Viator in Arlington Heights, now plays for Auburn. And he had the lone receiving touchdown in the Iron Bowl. Great kid. Man, is
super
he focused.
Nice kid.
He's so focused. What I love and what people didn't hear, and I'm going to tell you about it, he and his brother just bicker and fight off the air. It just reminds you of your brothers, you know? And they're, you know, here he is doing a radio interview and his brother is just busting his chops.
But his brother's probably his number one fan, filming the whole entire interview.
Of course. So proud. Those are the people that you want to root for. You really do. What a great kid. I hope he makes it in the NFL.
Me too.
Another great Chicago local story is North Central College in Naperville made its first trip to the NCAA Division III National Championship game and won 41-14 over Wisconsin Whitewater. And joining us is the head coach of North Central College in Naperville. It is Jeff Thorne. Coach, congratulations.
Thanks, Pete. Appreciate it.
Not bad for your first time in the national championship.
Yeah, our guys played absolutely phenomenally well. It was really a terrific experience all week long.
Tell me about the game. How nervous are you before the national championship game?
You know, it's a really good question, and I got that question a bunch going into it. I honestly shared this with my wife and my kids after the game. I really wasn't at all. I spent about 45 minutes before we went down for our meal in worship time, honestly, and just felt the presence of God upon me. And he's been on our program for as long as my dad has been around since 02 and passed it on to me in 15, and just felt completely at peace with how the things were going to play out. I really didn't have a lot of nervousness. Felt very confident in our guys and the preparation that our assistant coaches put into it. And just was excited to get there and get the game going.
Well, you gave credit to your father, John, who took over the program in 2002. Then you took it over from him in 2015. Now, he went to, was it the semifinals in 2013?
Yeah, we lost in the semifinals in 2013 to Mount Union 41-40, and we missed 5 extra points in the game. So we were really close, and I know how much it meant to have another opportunity to get back there and get this thing finished. That was his dream, and a lot of fun to have that opportunity to hand the trophy to him at the end.
Tell me about learning from your father, because a lot of us don't like to listen to our dads, but as we get older, it's like, oh, now it makes sense, and he is a smart man.
Yeah, you know, I played for him in high school, and then I went to Eastern Illinois and played there, so I was away from him for a while, and I remember when I came back, I was about 23 years old, and 1994, they had a great team. Tim Lester was their quarterback, great player, now the head coach at Western Michigan. And they lost. A bunch of their players had gotten hurt, and I remember standing in our kitchen and just kind of asked him, Dad, what are you going to do next year? We're graduating all this talent. And he looked me dead in the eye, and I remember it like it was yesterday. Just said, Jeff, you know, the more I worry about doing things the right way, the more things fall into place. Well, fast forward to 1995, a bunch of juniors. Team finished third in the conference at Wheaton-Warrenville South. Made it into the state championship game, played the number 2 ranked team in the country in Naperville Central, and we won 22-21. And the following year, they went and won it again. So on the heels of telling me, do the right thing, they won back-to-back state titles. So that kind of left a pretty good imprint on me.
Well, of course it did. We're talking with Jeff Thorne, the head coach of North Central College, won the D3 national championship. With any championship team coach, there's great chemistry. Did you know at the beginning of the season that you had something here, or did it take a while for the team to gel and you to figure it out?
Yeah, you know, we were bringing back a whole bunch of starters. I think we had 16 starters coming back, and included in that was obviously our Gagliardi Trophy winner in Brock Rutter, the quarterback. A superstar running back in Ethan Greenfield, and then, in my opinion, the best receiver in Division III, and Andrew Kaminsky, plus our entire offensive line. Defensively, we were bringing back just about everybody, so we felt really good about our opportunity to make a deep run if everything fell in place and we could stay healthy, and, you know, God willing, we were able to do that.
Your quarterback, Brock Rutter, threw for 263 yards, had 2 TDs, and ran for another touchdown. He broke the D3 record for career passing yards with his final touchdown. Wow. How proud were you of this kid?
Yeah, words can't even begin to describe how I feel about Brock Rutter. He's as great as those numbers are, and his career was over 4 years. I mean, he shattered every conference and school record that exists, and then he goes and breaks national records as well. He's a way better person than he is a quarterback and a football player. He's from a terrific family. His dad's an athletic director and has been in Illinois for years. His mom is just one of the nicest ladies you'll ever meet. And, you know, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree in Brock's case. He's just a great kid, cares about his teammates.
Right.
Tremendous competitor, just hates losing. And he really put the team on his back along with Andrew Kaminsky in the Mount Union game. And that's where we really saw the growth in Brock from his first 3 years. He just refused to let us lose.
Well, the thing is with Naperville, everybody knows everybody. My sister lives there. My niece Bethany went to Neuqua Valley with Brock, and the Rutters, okay. The Rutters live in the same neighborhood as my sister Mary, and my sister Mary is friends with Brock's mother.
And okay, so she can attend.
Well, first of all, he's got a great family, but he's a great kid. So you got some great kids coming out of that program.
For sure. There's no question. We're blessed. We you know, in recruiting, we try to recruit character kids, and this group is just, it epitomizes that. It was, the senior class was tremendous. Their leadership, their example, you know, everything you look for.
Right.
We had it this year.
Well, Coach, with any college football coach, I mean, you can't really dwell on the final game. You have to look to the future. Can you enjoy this for a few days before you start thinking about next year?
Yeah, you know, the nice thing about this playing in the national championship game is all the high schools in Illinois are closed now, so we can't hit the road on Monday. So we're going to take a few days to really enjoy this and let it sink in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, come a couple weeks from now, we'll be out in the high schools and really hitting the road hard in recruiting to work towards next year. Because as fun as this was, I think the guys understand getting a taste of it. We got to do this again.
Right, of course. And you go out there and you're sitting in living rooms and you're talking to these high school kids and trying to recruit them at North Central.
Yeah, we don't do as much in-home recruiting as the higher levels do. It's more of them coming and visiting the campus and getting a chance to visit with professors and get a chance to visit me and the other coaches. But there are times where we do end up in their houses, not as frequently as I mentioned, but we'll be canvassing all the high schools in Illinois and the Midwestern states for sure.
Coach Jeff Thorne, North Central College in Naperville, Division III national champions. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it, Coach?
It sounds awesome.
So happy for you. Thanks for coming on. We really appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me, Pete. Really appreciate it.
All right, take care.
Merry Christmas.
You too. That is Coach okay. Jeff Thorne. I can't be happier for this guy. What a great guy. I mean, so many. It's interesting how we put together this show, and it just kind of turned into a local college football thing, didn't it?
Yeah.
Wow. To read about North Central College in Naperville, it's like the, you know, they have such an underdog story there. I read such a great article how Jeff just praises his father, John, and like he said, he handed him the trophy. His dad ran that program for 13 years, then he took over in 2015, wins the national championship. First thing he does, wow, hands over the trophy. God, that's a moment right there.
Yeah, nice family moment. One of my friends from high school, Lauren Paulsgrove, she's the athletic trainer at North Central College.
Really?
And she got to hold the trophy after the game and got to celebrate with all the teammates and stuff. And, of course, you know, when a player gets hurt, you see her on TV, too. So,
of course,
there's always that local connection. She also was the athletic trainer or, like, student athletic trainer at my high school, Prairie Ridge High School, when we won the state title game in 2011.
That's a thankless job.
Yeah.
Doing that job. It's rough stuff because people are hurt. They're coming to you with your problems. It's rough stuff. Good for her.
Handling a bunch of different guys on different right. varies of injuries and all that stuff, yeah.
How long has she done it?
This is, I think, her second year.
Okay. Wow. That's going to be tough as a female on a male program. I don't know. Good for her.
Yeah.
That's
She's
awesome.
Been doing it, though. Doing a great job.
College football.
Yes.
I'm just so impressed with our last two guests. I'm just kind of basking in it right now. And Sal Canella from Auburn University and Jeff Thorne, the head coach at North Central College in Naperville. I don't know, you don't remember this, but Augustana was a huge, because you weren't born at the time, but Augustana was just a huge powerhouse in Division III football for years and years and years. And hopefully we'll see that in North Central College in Naperville. Once you win a national championship, people take notice. And they want to go there.
Yeah.
Because you have a winning program. God, good for them. Tonight at 10 o'clock, I'll be on the Final Word on Fox 32. Alongside this guy, it is Mitch Robinson from Fox 32. Mitch!
Hey, Pete.
Mitch, thank you for watching all the football games and carrying me tonight on the Final Word, because I've been working today. I've only seen one game. That was Lamar Jackson, who you just might as well hand him the MVP trophy.
The guy is insane. That was an amazing end to their first half and a great game. And I've come to realize as I sit here watching the Eagles and Cowboys that the NFC East really sucks.
That is the worst division. We have it on in the studio. The Eagles are winning 10-3, and both teams look pretty pathetic.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have one of these teams has a chance to get in with a sub .500 record. It's ridiculous. So,
right.
But Looking forward to watching some Bears while we wait to go on the air tonight.
I want to give people a peek behind the scenes because Mitch and I kind of joke around during commercials. When we walk in the studio about 30 seconds before we go on, we sit down. I don't know what it is, but it's like a comedy show. And then I will do some videos. I'll take some videos on my phone and post them during commercials. But maybe that's the thing that works, Mitch. We don't take it as serious as the other sportscasters.
Well, you know, when you've been kicked around as much as you and I have and bounced around, and, known you a long time since Rockford, Illinois. When you take it a little lighter. Also, you know, I sit on the set, Pete, and it's such a joy to be next to you, especially when you dress up so nicely and you know so much about sports.
I've figured out that being a sportscaster or an analyst on TV is the biggest joke on the planet. All you need to do is just pop off about teams as you go through highlights. Well, look at that, Lamar Jackson. He's your next MVP. All right, next one. Oh, well, let me tell you about this wide receiver in the National Football League. You can't say NFL because if you fill and say NFL, it's not enough time. The National Football League. That's what I'm learning.
Yeah, well, you're very astute, but I will tell you this. I would say I give credit to all the radio announcers more than I would to people that do my job because radio, you have to be able to talk. And also, if you're talking to people like you do, the callers,
right?
I don't envy you because if you give me a jersey number, I don't know who the hell wore it in 1942.
You know who number 42 was on the Chicago? Well, you're a Giants fan. You grew up in New York. But
I did.
40, 41, and 42 for the Chicago Bears. Everyone should know. Everyone should know 34, of course, Walter Payton, and 40, 41, and 42 are retired. You have Gale Sayers, you have Brian Piccolo, and you have Sid Luckman was number 42.
Yeah, pretty nice talent there, all four. Unfortunately, Walter today passed by Adrian Peterson on the all-time rushing touchdown scoring list, 100, I think it was 41.
I was going to ask you about that. You sent me a text earlier. Adrian Peterson, we always forget about him. But how close is he to 1,000 yards again this year?
He's got just over 800 yards, so he'll come up short unless he goes off next week, which I don't see happening. But 1,000 yards last year, close to 1,000 this year on a horrible team. And when he gets into the goal line, that's the guy you bring in.
Right. I can't believe it. How old is he?
He's our age, I think 52.
I wouldn't doubt it. By the way, we also have to mention number 99. You should know that, Dan Hampton, because he's coming up in 10 minutes, and I don't want him to punch me in the side of the neck.
I love Dan Hampton. I enjoyed interviewing him when I was in the locker room, and he was a player. Great guy. I enjoyed trying to interview him after a rare loss, and one Steve McMichael would be next to him, and he would be yelling some choice words.
Of course, Mongo.
Just so he couldn't say, use the interview on the air, which I always appreciate.
Of course. Adrian Peterson, by the way, 34 years old.
34. Unbelievable. God, unbelievable.
He seems much older. When did the Vikings get rid of him? About 3-4 years ago?
Right, he ended up with the Jets for a bit, didn't he?
Did he play for the Jets?
I think he ended up in purgatory for one half season with the Jets.
With Brett Favre?
he could have. I might have been. I don't know. But the guy's resurrected his career with a horrible team. Hey, you know what? He's lasted. He's durable.
Yeah.
The fact that he can do that and I have trouble getting out of a chair really is sad for me.
Oh, my gosh. So tonight at 10 o'clock, I will be wearing my Christmas suit. I mean, there's only so many places that I can wear this suit, and it'll be tonight on Fox 32. So I'll be
so much better than your so much better than your birthday suit because if you wear that,
you don't
if you come
that.
Out with the look like Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers, I might leave.
It's a bad look. By the way, I'll bring extra powder for my face because the suit is 100% polyester and I sweat like a pig. And we'll go into commercials. I'll have to powder. Yeah, powder up.
I hope we have to fill extra long.
Mitch, I'll see you tonight.
I can't wait, Pete. Reunion time.
All right. See you, buddy. That is Mitch Robinson. We're on The Final Word tonight at 10 o'clock on Fox 32. By the way, the Bears, what time's the game start? 7:20 tonight on Sunday Night Football? Bears, Chiefs, who we taking? Let's do a quick whip around. Who we taking? Who we have?
I'll take the Chiefs.
You're taking the Chiefs tonight? By
not
how much?
Not by much. Well, I'll say by 4 points.
4 points? Okay. Roger?
What's their record again? Chiefs?
What is their record?
Are they over 500?
He's looking it up. Yes, of course they are.
Well, I don't know.
Chiefs are 10-4.
They're in first place, right?
Wait a minute. All right. Well, then the Chiefs by 3 touchdowns.
The Chiefs by 3 touchdowns.
Yeah.
I think they win by 10. The Chiefs. Bears aren't going to win.
Well, of course they're not going to win.
No. Can you tell everybody what you're wearing?
I am wearing my Hanukkah suit.
Is it a suit or a sweater?
It's a more like a T-shirt. It's not very thick. But it looks, Curtis reached out to make sure that it wasn't an actual tie.
Okay.
Because the dynamics of the shading of all the materials on it makes it look like it's real.
So this isn't, I thought you were wearing a yellow jacket, because Roger is down the hall, so I see him on this big TV screen.
Right.
So I see a big yellow jacket with, it looks like a white shirt and a tie.
Uh-huh.
So that's just one piece.
It's all
t-shirt.
One. It's like a you would put on a regular T-shirt with like a team's logo on it.
So is today the second night of Hanukkah?
No, it's first night.
First night.
Sundown is all done, so we are celebrating. If I was home, I would have lit the first candle.
So do we start with the big presents first or work up to the big presents?
No, it depends on your household.
Okay.
I know that growing up, we got one present from each relative each night.
Okay.
And different nights, the first 3 nights we would switch around. It would be at my uncle's, then my aunt's, and then our place. So all the relatives would go to each one. And then after that, after the relatives had done their thing, then we get one gift from our parents each night.
But
each of the 8 nights.
I didn't know if you saved the biggest gift for the 8th night, or it just doesn't matter.
There were no real big gifts. We would get lots of clothing.
Okay.
Socks.
Right. Always
stuff that our parents thought we needed.
Socks and underwear every single year.
Yeah.
I'm gonna age myself, but I used to get socks and underwear from Venture in my every single year for Christmas in my pile year.
Yeah, definitely. We always got clothes, and then when we got old enough to realize that, you know, this is stuff you could have bought us any time of the year, then we started to get real ticked off. You know what I'm saying?
You get angry.
Yeah.
And then, see, yes, you love it, then you get angry, then you love your parents again. Isn't that how it works?
I think what happened one year is I was complaining, and I says, you know, you don't buy me anything I can play with.
God, we're the worst
So they
kids.
Bought me a game. It was Chinese checkers, and I, to this day, have never learned how to play that thing.
I used to be able to play Chinese checkers. I remember playing that because when you'd go on a long road trip, or we'd go to Wisconsin every single year on vacation, you had to play something in the car.
Right.
But here's the problem. Someone would get upset and tip it over, and you'd lose the marbles.
Exactly.
They'd go in between the seats, and then you'd miss half the marbles. And then,
it was tough. That was that I took it out the first year that I got it. I put the marbles in. I started to read the instructions, and I stopped after about a sentence. And I put the top back on. It stayed in my closet for God knows how long.
Do you still have it? Can you read it?
I have no idea where it's long gone. Long gone. When I went to college, I think my folks went into my closet and cleaned everything out.
Can we still say Chinese checkers? Is that acceptable? And we're not offending anybody?
That's the name that's on the box, isn't it?
I'm just asking. I don't know.
Oh, no, I know. Yeah.
Everybody's so sensitive nowadays. I'm waiting for a text message to come in. You can't say that anymore.
Well, maybe they should change the name. Whoever,
I don't know.
I don't know. Milton Bradley. I don't know if they make that or
is that available at the Target? If I can pick up the Chinese.
At the Target?
Yeah, the Chinese checkers. I was telling Curtis earlier, I still have to shop. I've been putting it off all week.
I heard driving in.
It's terrible.
And
man,
I'm telling you, we've got a drugstore right next door. If you're looking for the candies and stuff and the little tchotchkes that you can put in the socks, raid that place. And yes, you can still buy Chinese checkers, and they still call it that.
That's not a bad idea.
At Kohl's, Walmart's.
I like that.
Yeah.
Okay. I like it. Thank you, Raj.
You're welcome, sir.
Happy Hanukkah.
Well, thank you very much, and a happy holiday to you.
Thank you.
I heard you're going to be on during the week at some point.
Yes, I'll be on the morning show.
I got confirmation you're not on Christmas Eve.
Okay, that's great. I can go out and drink on Monday night. I'm good with that. All right, Hampton Beer coming up next. Bears pregame at 720 WGN.